We are good. So we are continuing on to get fit. Guess what? Today, you don't have to stand. You don't have to stand for this one. But you gotta participate either way. Gotta participate. So, if everybody has enough room, you can put your arms out to your side like this. Spread them out. Side, left to right, left to right. Recommend you make a little fist. You make a fist. That is not how I said. Independent of the chair. You're not reclining here, sir. You need to actually move your arms. There you go. And you're going to bring your arms into your head and then hold it. Now clench real tight, real tight, real tight. And then pull it back down nice and slow. Now do it again. There you go. One more time, back down. And then one more time, all the way in. And let it out. There you go. Woo! Well, that actually got fixed when I was down here in God's fire. It was nice. I was just, whoo, fixed it. And you know what's really cool about this? You can actually build strength by just doing this with your own personal resistance. If you actually resist, you resist your own pulling force of your arms towards and away, you actually start building strength. Which is what we are going to be talking about today. And I have to give you this in the fullness of the way God showed me, so I hope you guys can just use your mind and your imagination. So if you will, close your eyes. And I want you to get a nice, good picture of Jesus. Now, this is Jesus, okay? So you can go with the chosen. That's fine. You can use that. You can go with even a cartoon version of Jesus if you got that from, like, maybe some cartoon shows, okay? You can go Jesus Christ Superstar if you want to do that. If you're an old head, you can do that too. Just close your eyes. Get this picture of Jesus, okay? Now, I want you to, like, get him so jacked up and ripped. And like muscles on muscles, okay? Like I want you to just add the muscles, the super, super huge pectoral muscles, the big shoulders. And then imagine him running into Capernaum like Macho Man Randy Savage, okay? Like he's about to like clothesline the guards, all right? And he's just coming down like he's coming down the wrestling ramp. And he's just running into the ring and he's pointing and he's just pointing at things and running through because he heard somebody was in need. This is the imagery God sent me and gave to me when we were going through this. And he explained this to me in this imagery and he said, you know, this is how people perceive strength in the Lord. That's how they think it looks. They think it's theatrical and overdone and with muscles on muscles that Jesus is just going to come in and just clothesline the devil and he's going to jump up on the turnbuckle and give him the elbow drop. You know what I mean? And they think that that's what strength in the Lord means, that they have this understanding. And now I had you all go down that road with me, okay? How ridiculous was it in your head? Was it awesome or ridiculously awesome? It was ridiculous, cause you know it was ridiculous. Cause you can't imagine Jesus having like those kinds of muscles, right? Like, I'm talking about going back in the way back, like the 80s wrestling genre, okay? Like we're talking like, you know, oiled up Jesus too, you know? Okay, sure. Yeah, exactly. As ridiculous as it is, it's meant to be ridiculous because think about it. How ridiculous is our expectation of how Jesus is going to solve our problems with strength? That's how we think about it. That's how we envision it's going to get done. And so when he gave me this in this total ridiculous fashion, he did it to kind of shine a light on the ridiculous way we envision and think about strength when it comes to God's strength. We have this misappropriation and a misunderstanding, and it's due to our lack of spiritual fitness. Amen? We have fallen victim to a very, very lazy spirit in the church worldwide. I'm not saying just here at Streams, but I'm saying across the board. And we live this way. We have this relationship with God where we believe that this is the way it is going to be handled, right? We believe that it's this visible intimidation that because I'm saved and I know Jesus, that Jesus is standing behind me and he's going, listen here, brother, you mess with my kid, I'm coming after you. Like that's what we think. And so we just tell you, oh, well, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. And they go, oh, and you see them do that and you go, oh yeah, you see him, don't you? Yeah, he's pointing at you, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, you don't like that because you know he's going to come get you. And that's what we think. But is Jesus about building fear and intimidation? No. So why do we treat him like that's what's going to come? Because then the immediacy of that presentation, guess what they do? They do this. They back up. Because the perception is wrong. And he also gave me an illustration that we have this same confusion when it comes to power in the Spirit. That we get the strength in the Holy Spirit, right? We think that we're going to be throwing like energy beams out, Holy Spirit. Like we're from like some cartoon show. Right? Like we have all these like energy blasts that we can just project out and there's the Holy Spirit moving and setting people off. How wrong is this understanding that has come upon the church? Because it is theatrical. It is ridiculous. And I hate to say it, but it is so far removed and absent from the ways God has intended that this is why you have a church that's stagnant and not growing. It's why. It's one of the major reasons why. So today, we started off with a little muscle movement exercise, which is great. But we're going to talk about how to build strength. Because if we don't understand first and foremost how to correctly build it, then when we have it, we won't even know how to use it and how to use it correctly. So we have three major issues, and I know it seems like a lot to tackle, but we're going to try and tackle it all today. Amen? So we're going to start off with Colossians 1, verses 10 through 11. Scriptures are going to be relatively short, but we have a bunch to get through. So we're going to start there and we're going to move. Amen? Amen. So starting at 10, verse 11, it says, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy." Now, clearly, we get strengthened with all might and we go, makes sense to me. We have to read this through and just thoroughly understand this because here's where all this comes together. First thing, right? What is the purpose for strength? The purpose for strength, according to this scripture, is for what? You are strengthened with might for what purpose? For all patience and long suffering with joy. Was that strength given to you to go run down a brick wall? Was that strength given to you to go and do all this hubbubaloo? Whatever you want to call it. What's it for? Patience and long suffering with joy. Here's the funny part. Everybody's going to look at that and they're going to focus on what word? Really? I would have thought patience because everybody's avoiding that one like the plague. Because that's the one nobody wants to talk about, right? Patience. I don't got patience and I don't want it either, right? Let me go through that whole pray for patience thing again. But this is not actually, that's not actually the focus. You had it correct. Joy. Joy is actually the key here. Because that's actually the strengthening part. The joy of the Lord is my strength, right? So why is that so particular in this particular, it's so important in this particular moment is because here's the catch. I guarantee you everybody in this room has been in their own strength being patient and long suffering with things going on in their life. But how many of you have been doing it with joy? Where's the joy? Where's the joy? Because if it's not there, then whose strength is it in? It's not in his strength, it's in yours. Who's going to run out of strength first? You or God? Who's already out of strength? Who's already done with all the stuff? Who's thrown it to the wolves and said, I'm done with it. Forget it. Right? Right? Where's the joy? See, the problem is, the reason why you're there and you're in that position is because you actually have been using it in your strength. You've not been doing it with the strength of the Lord. You have not been relying on Him as the source of strength. You've been producing it yourself. Because if you were doing it with His strength, guess what you would have? Joy. And you would be patient and long-suffering. Because that's what His strength does. And, catch, it's not according to what we can provide for ourselves. Right? We cannot build this strength. We can build a strength. I like to call it tolerance. But everybody here has a limit. Right? There's only a certain amount of stuff I'm going to take that you throw at me to the point where I go, I stands all I can stands. And I can't stands no more. Right? We all know that. We have it in us. That's where we are no longer supposed to continue, and He is. But we don't do that. That's not how we operate. We try to muster up more strength. We try to build more strength, right? And the problem is that we are consistently trying to find ways, mechanisms, whether it's I'll even go into this. I need some strength, Lord. Lead me in your word. I need to find some good words to build up my strength, right? Keep digging. Guess what? You want to know what you're not going to get? Strength. You know why? Because although it's in here, all of it's going to lead you to the source of the strength. It's not going to strengthen you. Wait a minute. You telling me the Bible is not going to give me strength? No, it's going to lead you to the source of strength. It's not going to give you strength. It's going to lead you to the source of strength. The source of strength is going to then give you strength. Wait a minute. That doesn't seem right. It is right. How can I say that? Why? Because let's go back to the first part of the scripture. Here Paul tells us, walk in a manner, right? What does it say? That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. You can go to scripture and guess what it's going to tell you how to do? It's going to tell you how you need to walk. It's going to tell you how to be well pleasing to the Lord. But that's not going to be the strength. Your strength comes because you're walking in a way that is worthy of the Lord and you are pleasing to Him. When you are walking in a way that is worthy of the Lord and you're pleasing to Him, guess what He wants to do for you? He wants to pour out His strength upon you. He wants to give you the good things because you are well-pleasing to Him. When you are not well-pleasing to God, does He want to just give you all the good things and the treasures of His heart? No. What do you deserve? You deserve to be smacked. But because He is a good and gracious God, He does not, He withholds. But do you get good things? No, not always. But also, we get then to go to the next thing. Being fruitful in every good work. If you go to the Word and you read all about producing fruit, right? Being a good workman. Doing things for God, right? That can tell you all the things you need to do and figure out what you need to do in order to produce fruit, right? But where does that come from? Does it come from just this word here? Or does it come because I'm found faithful with the things God has given me to produce fruit? By doing the things God has given me to do. See, as I do the things of God and I'm being productive for God, He will continue to supply my needs in the expense of what I had put out. Right? Does God's well ever run dry? No. Right? My cup runneth over. It's not, oh, it's only half full. I need more, God. No, it's constantly pouring out. So you can be poured out. So, therefore, if we are doing the things that God has told us to do, we will then have the strength to continue to do the things God has given us to do. It's automatic. You're welcome. Lastly, increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh, well, that's gotta be here, right? Cause we only learn more about God by going into His Word, right? Right? It's gotta be here. Well, it's true. Right? It is knowing Him, which you can start by knowing Him through His Word. But if you are only settled in to knowing Him just here and not on a personal level, then you're settling for just the bare minimum of what you can know of God. The more you know of Him, the more you know of what you have. The less you know of Him, the less you have. It's a simple formula. But if we apply these three areas to our regimen of building strength, right? We actually open up the way for Him to supply that need. We open up the doors. Remember how, you know how people say, oh, I'm open to God? This is me. I'm open to God. Are you? Because that's what it means to be open. That's what it looks like to be open. It's not just saying I'm open. It's actually committing to walking in a way that is worthy and pleasing to God, producing fruit for Him, doing His work and His bidding of what He wants done, and learning more about Him. That's actually what being open looks like. You can't just say it and claim it. That's not how the kingdom works. It doesn't work that way. It's not operating that way. Simply put, this principle is really easily summed up by less of me and more of Him. Right? Less of me, more of Him. Less of me, more of Him. As I decrease, He increases. So if I understand this principle, but I don't do that, then I have very little strength of Him, and I only have the amount I can produce. So when I run out, guess what? Oh, now's the time you want to knock on Daddy's door for more strength? How long do you think it takes to build? Let's use an actual real life physical example. If you hit the gym today and you go in there and you start lifting some dumbbells to build some muscle and strength, right? Are you going to have Jack Macho Man arms when you leave the gym? You might have a little bump there. If you have nothing there and it kind of like waves in the wind when you move, you're probably going to still have that when you walk out the door. It'll just hurt more. Right? This is true. Right? But if you don't do this continually over and over and over and over again, you don't get the increase. So let's apply the physical to the spiritual, right? If you don't make the commitment, you can make the commitment today. I'm going to leave here and I'm going to walk in a worthy way that's pleasing to Him. I'm going to be fruitful and I'm going to start learning more about Him. But you don't do it tomorrow, you are not going to build strength. Because you have only given Him just that day to give you strength that you need. How much do you think you use in a day? Guaranteed, you probably run it on empty every single day. Because strength that you think you're using and what you think you're using it for is actually so wrong and so out of whack that you think running around chasing your kids is expending all of your strength. That's not. You think going to work and doing the physical labor that you do all day is expending your strength. It's not. That's wrong. You think the things that you are using and doing throughout the course of a day is expending your strength, and you could be so further away from the truth. It has nothing to do with it. The people who spend the most strength are actually the people who are retired. Wait a minute. How's that possible? Because strength is not what you think it is. You have a very bad definition of strength. And we'll also get to another area that's going to start opening this door in Isaiah 41 verse 10. I'm just going to pull it up here. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So this isn't from me. This isn't me telling you what God's going to do. It's God telling you what He wants to do. Straight from the mouth. It isn't what I'm saying. So this isn't me telling you, oh, well, you have to take my word for it. There it is. Black and white, right? But in line with this, you also have an enemy that wants to steal the strength. And that enemy is? First word. Fear. Think about it. How many times do the things that God wants you to do, right? Let's just go back to the thing of producing fruit. God gives you something to do. It's there to produce fruit, which is benefiting for who? People who need it. God himself, right? Because he gets the benefit of the fruit that's produced as well, right? And guess what? Guess who else gets benefited? You! Three people, or more, depending, are all benefiting from the production of fruit that you are doing the thing that God has said for you to do, right? What is the first thing that's going to creep into your mind to tell you not to do it? Fear that you're going to do what? You're going to fail. You're going to mess it up. You're not going to do it right. You're not going to do it according to the way God said. You're not going to follow the 18,000 laws and instructions that other people have put in front of you to say that God has said this is how it needs to be done. And if you don't do it according to all those things, well, then you might as well not even try. And so before you even start, the devil goes in and goes, Howard, try this one on for size. Fear. But if we know him, right? If you know God and you know him better, where does fear take place? It takes place in the absence of knowing him. The less of him you know, the more you have room for fear. But if you know God and you know how much of a champion he is, and he is that macho man Randy Savage, if I might say so myself, all right? Because, yeah, God's like, God's God. I mean, let's just leave it there, all right? So I'm not fearing anything because I know my God and King. I know what he is capable of doing. Amen? I know he's got my back, right? So the more we trust in him and we put our faith in him, we start to build our strength. It actually is a testimony of our faith and our trust in our God and King. That's how you build strength. The more of that process continuing on a daily basis is like the repetitions of you in the gym. So the more you put your trust and faith in God, and you know that he is capable and will do and fulfill those things because he said, and he is not God that he can lie, he will not go back on his word, amen? So if you know that he cannot lie, and it is written, and his word does not return void, then why are you allowing fear to come in and rob you of the things that God is trying to use to build your strength? It's because you don't know. Or you know very little. So when people do exercise or lift weights, they do these repetitive tasks that eventually build muscle. The muscle built becomes the source of strength. And again, this is the physical, right? Here's what confounds me. Absolutely boggles my mind. The level of determination and focus that we use to do this so that we have the strength to open up a jar of pickles or to lift all the groceries in one trip out of the car. Now you have to do it without bags, by the way. But we will not apply that same level of determination and focus on the things of God that actually supply the strength that we need to get through to do and accomplish his good and perfect will. We won't apply that same principle. We won't repetitively go to God's word to learn about him. We won't continually apply that knowledge to tasks that demonstrate that knowledge that we have. We have a Weight Watchers mentality. When it comes to God. Think about it. Just for a minute. If I just remove this unwholesome thing, boom, muscles for days. That's all I had to do. I just had to get this detestable thing away from me. And now because I have gotten rid of that detestable thing, all I have to do is just sit here and wait. And I'm just going to shed the weight and the muscles are going to come on and boom, I'm good. I'm moving in God. We get that spiritual six pack just because I got rid of it. I got rid of that thing that you told me, God. I stopped doing that thing you told me not to do 10 years ago. I finally gave it up. Boom. Washboard abs in the spirit. Is that how it works? If you only got rid of the untestable thing of God and did nothing, I assure you, you are still going to be fat and lazy spiritually. All you have is just one less thing that you're paying attention to. That's all. But guess what? If you're still fat and lazy in that way, guess what you're also going to do? You're going to find something else to fill the spot. And anybody who's ever done Weight Watchers, seriously, like done it, like any of the diet programs, yeah, you do it for about how long? A little while? Because you gave up stuff, right? But how often do you find something else to fill the spot? Like literally, and I hate to say this, but programs like Weight Watchers, not picking on them particularly, but programs like them literally buy you in with, you can get rid of these things, but we'll substitute them with this and it's taste better. And it's better for you, right? So you go, oh, well, the Weight Watchers candy bar. It's better for me. I stopped eating the actual candy bar that was bad for me. Now I'm going to eat the Weight Watchers candy bar that is supposedly better for me. You might have eaten one Snickers a day, but now you're eating 5 Weight Watchers candy bars a day. Is that better? No. It didn't fix the problem, did it? You're relying on something artificial to fill the void. Instead of going to the source of all that needs and can meet our needs to supply those needs, we find it elsewhere in the world. And there's a reason why. 2 Corinthians 12. You might as well just put your finger there, or put your finger on Corinthians when we disappear from it for a minute, because we'll be back to it. But 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 through 10. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is exactly where we get it wrong. This very scripture is where we mess it up. How many people read that? Obviously knowing, if you don't know context, who's complaining? Paul. Paul's complaining, and the Lord's stretching him out because he's complaining. Okay? How many complainers in the house? Everybody's hand better go up. Am I right? Been there, done that, right? Wear that hat a few times. Okay? We believe that weakness is bad. We believe the thorn is bad. And we also believe that in opposition to that, strength is good, right? So we see the weakness, thorn, bad. God's strength, good. And we believe God being God, and God being a purveyor of good things, will turn the bad thing, weakness, into the good thing, strength. How many people read that way? How many people think that that's exactly what God does? He's going to turn my weakness into strength. That's what it sounds like, right? Because after all, my strength is made perfect in weakness, right? No, that's God saying, right? My strength is made perfect in weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So there's this constant threading of God's going to take that and he's going to fix it. He's going to make it right. He's going to take my weakness and he's going to replace it with his strength. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did God remove the thorn? No. So why do we get that understanding from? Because the thorn was not removed. God simply showed him how to stop focusing on the thorn and focus on him instead. Right? That's what he was bringing to the table. Weaknesses in us are usually easily exposed and utilized by the enemy to demoralize us. When we have a weakness, generally, the enemy likes to throw a whole bunch of stuff that goes, hey, by the way, I know this is a real struggle in you right now. Let me cascade all this junk in front of you to get you to jump on to that. Because after all, you're weak now. So I'm going to try to get you onto that weakness path. But we don't have that struggle because we have what? My grace is sufficient for you. We have and live under God's grace. Amen? Amen? You are in this place, in this predicament right now because of God's grace. Weaknesses come and go, right? But we have to not fall prey to the weakness, but rather have patience and understanding that what God will accomplish through us will be because of his strength. In spite of your weakness. Let me say that again. We have his grace not to fall prey to the weakness, but rather to have patience and understanding that what God will accomplish through us will be because of his strength. And here's the catch. How many people think that's a long process? You wanna know why? Remember that patience problem? You can quicken it. Patience, long suffering, with joy, right? If we have his strength, the process gets quickened. Think of it this way. If you are really strong, you can probably push the car, get the momentum going, and keep it moving faster. But if you're not really strong, it's going to take you a lot longer to get it going. But once you get it going, you can pretty much keep moving, right? You just got to keep up pace. But if we don't have a proper understanding of strength and how strength is utilized and what strength really is, what we do is we either exhaust it and expunge it in a way that's improper, and then we go back to God going, well, I need more strength. No, you don't. Because you have all that you need. You don't understand what you're doing. You don't understand what you're in. What you think you need strength for, you don't. And what you think something else is appropriating for, you have his strength. Let me clarify. Psalm. In Psalm 18, it's a lot of scripture, but we're only going to focus on the first two and then down the road three more, because you're going to get a great understanding of strength. Two awesome examples. Verse 1 says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. You have strength mentioned not once, but twice. And who's the strength? God, right? My Lord, my strength. God is strength. God is our strength, right? But it describes this strength in conjunction with things like fortress, stronghold, shield. All of those are very much describing an attitude that is for what purpose? Defensive, right? It's a defensive thing, right? What strength means here is firmness, solidity, or toughness, the quality of bodies by which they sustain the application of force without breaking or yielding. So let me explain where God is my strength in this application applies. If you are under it, but you haven't broken because God is your strength. Because God keeps you upright. Because there's still a battle to be waged. And you need to be ready. And you need to be able to take the blows of the enemy one after the other, but you cannot break. And he knows that. So he will be your strength. He is your shield. He is your fortress. He is your rock. He is unmovable. You might be movable, but he is not. But if he needs you to be stalwart and stand, guess what? In his strength, you will. You will. In your strength, you will crumble like a deck of cards. But in his strength, you will stand. And get this. This definition of strength opposes weakness. It opposes it. How? Because what you are able to do by taking on all that force and not yielding and not breaking, right? You can sustain pressure over time. So when the enemy is going to continue to throw one thing after the another after another, the strength of the Lord allows you to stand and take every shot and not flinch, not budge, not move. You're steady. You're steady. Now think about this from a perspective that is applied to you spiritually. I need to have victory in fill in the blank. I'm really seeking that the Lord would have this breakthrough. How many people are praying for breakthroughs? Want victory in things. Breakthroughs, victories, whatever it is. You want breakthrough. You want victory, right? Is it right now? Or is it something that you can see that's coming down the road? It's coming down the road, right? You see it. You know it's not right this moment, but I can see it. God's bringing me to it. It's coming. I'm going to keep pressing in. As you get closer, do you think the enemy's going to give up? Or do you think he's going to become more ornery and more, he's going to pummel you? But if you know that that's down the road, you need to be able to sustain over time the things that the enemy wants to unfold and undo on you to make it to that goal. This is the whole reason why he gives us his strength, because we have to press on towards the things that he has given to us, the goals that he's called us to, but the enemy wants to continue to pull us away or tear us down before we get to them. The good things of God that he wants to pour out and pour into our lives, he has given to us. We have to go obtain them, right? We remember that, right? Well, that journey of obtaining them is going to be intrepid with all kinds of things that the enemy wants to throw down. So guess what? You need to have strength to endure all of that. He gives it to you. Why? Because he doesn't want you to not have what he has built up for you. He wants you to obtain those things. And if there's a weakness in you that the enemy wants to exploit, this strength covers that weakness, does it not? You can still get, how many times, and this is even more, and this is something God just gave me right now, how many times is the thing that you're trying to get breakthrough from or breakthrough in your weakness? It's like, I just need to get the tool to remove the stupid thorn out of my side. The tool's over there, but the whole time I'm going, man, that thorn's just jabbing deeper and deeper, right? If only I could just make it over there to grab that tool to pull this thing out of my side. God's strength will carry you to get the tool to pull the thorn out of your side. Obviously, we all know the thorn is not a real thorn. But use the imagery. Understand what the obstacle is. What is the weakness? What is the thing that the enemy is exploiting and taking advantage of in this moment to get you to throw away and not count on and rely on his strength so that you can get there and have his strength cover that weakness. Now, if you just go a little bit further down in Psalms 32 to 34, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on high places. He teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Man, this one gets you fired up. And it makes you think, I got strength to just... I can bend metal. I'm strong. Kind of. Still the wrong definition, though. But strength here is still provided by who? Right? It is God who arms me with strength. It is not me arming myself. It isn't about how much weights I lifted. It isn't about what I did for me. It's about God simply going, I have armed you with this strength. But this strength is different. This strength is positive, or the power of producing positive motion or action. Positive motion or action. And you can get that because all the examples, right? He makes my feet like the feet of the deer, which implies you are swift, right? Quick on your feet, and sets me on high places. That's moving upward. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. And if you just keep reading down, everything is about an outlet of positive motions and doing something productive for the kingdom of God. So when we see this, this strength opposes weakness by positive motion, where weakness produces what? If God's strength produces a positive motion, what does weakness want to do? Does it produce positive things? Either send you backwards or it does zero. Nothing at all. In both examples, however, we are not the producers of this strength. However, we do have a responsibility. We are responsible to sustain the relationship that keeps the strength in us. See, so many people have this great fall from God. Do you ever notice that? When people fall from God, it's a great fall. Like, man, they were doing so great. They were on fire. God was really moving in their lives. And then all of a sudden, it's like they disappear, they vanish, and they're in the desolate wasteland of wastelands. Do you ever realize that? There's a reason why that happens. Because you've walked out of God's strength. And the things that God has been keeping and sustaining and protecting you and holding you upright for so long, you walked away from. No wonder the fall's so great. Because you have been relying on his strength way more than you think. Remember how I said all those things that you thought were strength and I'm doing because God and all this stuff? Let me be clear. The things that God is protecting and holding up, there are so many things that his strength is keeping from hitting your doorstep that you never even saw the light of day of. They never made it to you because of his strength. His strength is able to fight off demons from distant places from ever coming and invading your life and bringing harm and havoc upon you. That's how powerful his strength is. But the second you give up on him and you don't have his strength, guess what you have? You have a lot of bad things on your doorstep all at once. And that's why it hurts so heavily when that time comes. That's why we should never, ever, ever forsake God, forsake his spirit, forsake the name of Jesus, because the second you do that, you cut all of that off instantaneously. Now take all of this that we learned about strength. Take everything we learned about his strength, how he provides his strength, how we need to continue to know more about him, right? Be fruitful. Walk in a way that is worthy and pleasing to him, right? Building that strength. Building that connection to the source of our strength, right? And now apply it to this. 1 Corinthians 12. 22 through 27. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. For if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. The body of Christ, the church, all of its members come together as one body. And when you read that, you understand the greater principle of what we're talking about from a spiritual perspective. Because if you are in a position where you do not build that strength spiritually for yourself, and you are limited, or you are not investing the time that you need to get to know God in a way that He strengthens you on a daily and regular basis, you might be considered a weaker part of the body. But does that mean you're not part of the body? Does that mean that we look at you funny and treat you poorly? No. What are we supposed to do? What did the scripture say? God designed the body so that the parts that are weaker get more attention. See, the reality is that where one part of the body might be strong, their strength, remember I was telling you how strength doesn't get used the way we think it does? I'm not building strength for me. I'm building strength for you. As is everybody else. Because the reality of that last part of scripture is when one lacks, we all lack. When one hurts, we all hurt. But when one gets honored, we all get honored. You point that out today of your victory, right? That's not just your victory. That's our victory. Because all of our strength has been pouring into you to help you get that victory. It is a victory for everybody here. But so are the downs. Those downs are a hurt for everybody as well. So the whole body benefits from each and every one of the parts of the members individually building their strength so that we can rely on one another when we're down a little bit. And that ebb and that flow and that balance that the body is designed, because after all, the parts are interconnected, right? We're not all eyes sitting on tables. Each part has a purpose. Each part connects to another part to help strengthen that part when it is weak. But it's not designed that that part is consistently weak. Do you want to know what this really talks about? You want to know what this really builds? Discipleship. Because the more connected you are and you're discipled, right, the more strength you're being built by the other part that you're connected to that's building you up. Amen. Amen? So that strength gets building and building and building. Guess what? The more the whole body is building up its strength, the more we can endure, the more we can take, the more the devil wants to try and displace and do things to us. He can't move us. We're an immovable object because his strength covers us, right? But at the same time, we have also, in combined with that strength, the strength to go and move. And do and accomplish the things that God has given to us. As a whole, not individually, but as a whole. This is why this part of spiritual fitness is so important, because if we're not taking time to invest in ourselves, to learn about Him, to spend time, to walk in a way that's worthy and pleasing to Him, right? Then we're not going to get to know Him good enough. We're not going to know enough about Him. We're not going to have the strength that we need. We're easy target. But in the body, right, just because you're an easy target, guess what that means? It just means that we're going to try and come around you. We're going to rally with you. We're going to try to get you encouraged. We're going to build you up. But that also requires a commitment. That commitment coming through discipleship means I don't want to be an easy target anymore. I want to be stalwart. I want to be strong in the Lord. If you want to be strong in the Lord, then get connected to a strong member of the body. Amen? That's the way you do it. Nobody's holding your hand and nobody's forcing you to do that though. But I can tell you, the benefit the whole body gets from that is immense. And if we want to see, we want to be able to take on the things that we know that God is saying over and over again, you guys better be prepared. You guys better start getting prepared. You guys better start getting prepared. The things that are coming, the things that are coming, you don't want to be caught with yourself in a bad spot because you're like, oh, well, I heard all those warnings and now it's here. And I'm like, oh, I'm not ready. That's what warnings are for, right? You can get ready now so that when that time comes, you're not caught unaware. You're not caught off guard. You're ready. You're prepared. But also, you can serve. You can help. You can do. You're not just getting contributed to. You're contributing. Amen? It's a different mindset. And we have to get there in order for this church to be ready. Just not just streams, but church worldwide. Because the things that are going to be coming is going to require an active, positive, moving church. Amen? 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 So, Father, I pray, God, that we don't just take this word lightly today, God. We take it and we let it really press upon our heart in a way that we understand where we might be. Maybe that comes through a convicting moment. That's fine. If it is, God, then let that conviction produce change. Let that conviction bring us to the precipice to want to have a change lifestyle, a change of thought, a change of mind, God, that we would be pursuant to knowing you better, to knowing more about what your purpose is for our life, God, to wanting to jettison all of the things that are not of you and to live in a way that is worthy and pleasing to you, God. And to connect ourselves with the body parts so that we can be strengthened, built up, and accomplish your will as a whole, as one unit, doing that which you have called us to do. Lord, have your way with us. Let your word go and accomplish its good and perfect will and produce fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. If you need prayer,